Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contaminated.
Well, hello. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. For some reason, I'm a little bit under the weather, but nevertheless, the show will go on. You know, there's very few things that can stop the show, and being under the weather is not one of them. We're very glad to have you here. I want to encourage everybody to go in and tune in to my website at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. We're certainly looking forward to a great show tonight. I'm very excited about this one because this one has some promising thoughts in it. For tonight. So we're looking forward to that. Miss Blake is going to be joining us. She's going to be joining us just a little late this evening and in about 15 minutes or so. So we're always happy to hear from her. She's got her show on Monday nights now from 9 o'clock till 10. And when she gets on the air this evening, she'll be more than happy to share her information with you all. All right, we're going to get to the story a little earlier than usual tonight. And I would love to hear your comments, any of your comments tonight, if you would like to have something to say about tonight's topic. Or if there's anything you want to say about any of the previous topics, we can do that as well. I always seem to piggyback off of some of our past shows because those shows are exciting, and there's a lot of information that goes with those shows. And people can listen to any of our shows in the archives. Just simply go to drjessewalker.com and pull up a show that's of interest to you. We have over 900 shows now that we've done over the past 7 years, which this month makes 7 years. That I've been on the air. And, you know, time has really gone fast. And they say time goes fast when you're having fun. And I can truly tell you this. I'm having a great time. I mean, just a grand time I'm having. With having people on the air and a bunch of different things, I'm really having fun. I enjoy the show. This is my thrill. So I think that I encourage anyone, when you can find your thrill out there, go for it, because there's so much that you will find with entertainment, and certainly I found mine. All right, we're going to just reiterate on last week's show, why is it that some relationships seem to go from love to seemingly hate? That was last week's topic. And, of course, a number of our callers gave their perspective views, and I tried to give my perspective views as well. Well, I want you to think about that just for a second. Why is it that some relationships seem to go from love to hate? Well, I think that people fall in love, and perhaps they fall in love for the wrong reasons. you know, when you hear, if you listen to children, like young kids under the age of 12, when they start telling you what do they look for in a relationship, oftentimes one of the first things that they'll say is, well, the young ladies will say, well, they're looking for a cute guy. And the guys will pretty much say the same thing. So it becomes a physical attraction. So that's what they're basing a relationship on, the physical attraction. And we all, those of us who are older and mature, we know that the physical attraction is not something that is always going to be the lasting or the most important. There are other things that tend to be more important than just being concerned about that physical attraction. And until, you know, you start to really understand that component of it, people will constantly gravitate to a lot of the wrong relationships. So you want to think about, long before you start dating, you want to really think about is what you're looking for. And that would be my thoughts. What is it that you're looking for in a relationship? What is it that you're expecting? What are the expectations of having someone that you are compatible with? If you're just looking for that physical, you know, if they're cute, what about how they treat you and the compatibility, the chemistry? Those things are super important. And, of course, you can't expect a 12-year-old to really know a lot of this stuff. But certainly you would think that by the time people are older, they would know this stuff. They would know that being equally yoked, you know, to really be with someone, you know, especially to consider yourself having, excuse me, having a lasting, the potential for a lasting relationship. Now, if it's something that you're just thinking, well, gee, I'm just going to have some fun, excuse me, well, then I think it's also equally important that you let that person know that you're going out on a date with, that you don't have intentions. You don't intend to be serious about a relationship. You're just out to maybe have some fun, whatever you identify fun to be. And I think it's important that you let that other person know also what you would consider fun to be. So these things become very, very important from my perspective. And I think that people should think about them. We can take some callers in a few minutes. If anybody would like to chime in with us tonight, we'll certainly take callers to talk about your thoughts on some of the things that are important before you get involved into a relationship. So that's not tonight's topic. I just want to hear one or two people comment on that area. The question is asked, you know, what should you look for? Remember, we talked about the 12-year-old. And if you ask a 12-year-old girl, what is she looking for? She's going to say a cute guy. And you ask a 12-year-old boy, he's pretty much going to say the same thing. He's looking for a 12-year-old cute girl. And as they get a little older, maybe 16, they start to say a cute guy, but they're also likely to say a guy that treats me nice, you know. And then as they get a little older, some of these things will start to change. Well, you know, 21-year-old, well, he's got to be a cute guy, treats me nice, and he's got to have a car, you know. Not necessarily a car, but a job, you know. He can be working at McDonald's or someplace, you know, and then as you get a little older, then, of course, it depends also on the accomplishments of an individual, because then you get to the point where somebody says, well, if she has an education, she's kind of thinking compatibility now. That's when they start to mature. Let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to ask, you know, give us your developmental stages of what a 12-year-old might say, an 18-year-old might say, a 25-year-old might say when they're looking for in a relationship, or just give us what you think young women and young men should be looking for just before we get to tonight's topic. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Give us your take on this, Rose.
I tend to agree with what I've heard you said about the stages, the 12-year-old, the 16, the 21, you know. Most of them, they're always looking for someone that's cute. It doesn't really matter even at 16. For most of them, most of the females, it doesn't even matter if the guy is into his education, you know. As long as he's cute and he's one of the popular guys, especially that's what they're looking for, especially sometimes in high school, you know, you're on the football team, you are the quarterback, you know, he can pretty much get almost any girl that he wants. I mean, he doesn't have to be into his education, his grades doesn't have to be high, you know, he's handsome and he's popular, the girls are going to want him. Of course, as they get older, they are a little more settled, and so they're going to look for someone that they can spend the rest of their life with. If a girl is into her education, more than likely she's going to want someone that is compatible with her. But, you know, the girls always still want someone that's cute. They're not yet that mature to say, well, you know what, it's really only, you know, really how he treats me. A lot of times they're thinking about their kids. You know, they want to have kids and they want to have a cute child. So they're thinking that if they get with a cute guy, you know, then it's a possibility that they will get a cute child when they do have a child together, you know. But, of course, you have those who really have their head on the shoulder and they will be thinking more long-term and they would try to get someone who is educated or who is after his education, he's in school, he has a plan to finish, you know, at least his first degree and have a plan as to where he wants his life to go in the future. So you have those females who might be a little older now or the ones who are really thinking about their future long term, they will be thinking about getting a guy that is, I would say, level-headed, someone who has his future, someone who is going someplace, you know. But if I were to say, you know, what a person, whether male or female, should be looking for, you know, when they're dating or before they decide to get married to that person, you know, they have to make sure, you know, look for the red flags, you know, and when the red flags show up, don't just brush them away. Really think hard about it because sometimes in the initial stage of the relationship, everything seems all so nice and you don't really see the red flags, although they might be right there in your face, but you are so topsy-turvy in love with that you're with that you don't take the time to think about or to see what's actually in your face until sometimes when you are already committed to this person and then you realize, oh my goodness, I don't like this about this person or I don't like that. And when you think back, you will realize that, you know what, this was always there. I just wasn't focused on it. So we have to be very careful when we are choosing and deciding to go in a long-term relationship, or I should say a committed relationship, because that's one of the most important decisions a person will make in your life.
Well, thank you, Rose, for sharing that with us. I think that that is so important, too, and I tend to agree with you, as you mentioned earlier, you agree with me, that young people are bound to say things because they are not at that developmental stages. But by the time someone progresses to their mid-20s, I would venture to say they should have at least a better idea, a much better idea of what they're looking for in a relationship. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can listen to this show in its entirety 20 minutes after it's aired on the internet by simply going to drjesswalker.com or drjesswalker.com and catch us there. We're going to get into tonight's story just momentarily. And if you're just joining us again, my co-host, Ms. Blake, will be joining us momentarily. She's traveling and she will be in place and we'll be able to zoom her right into the studio within the next few minutes. Tonight's topic is, are you bored in your relationship? Tonight's topic is, are you bored? This is sort of a piggyback off of one of these shows we had early on in the year. So this may even be considered part two of our show. Are you bored in your relationship? And we're gonna get to that in just a moment. You know, a lot of times people sit around, they don't do anything, and you know, like I said last week in last week's show, why is it that some people go from love to seemingly hate in their relationships? And you know, this show will tie into that. And I asked the question, you know, could it be that people start to take each other for granted? Is it that people just, for whatever reason, they get frustrated with each other? They start to wear out. They seem to lose effective communication. There's a difference, I believe, in communication and effective communication. So you have all of these issues that surround why people tend to be bored in their relationship. And tonight's topic, once again, is, are you bored in your relationship? And if you are, we want to hear from you. If you're not, we want to hear from you as well. You know, tell us what keeps your relationship going. What keeps that flame going in your relationship? You may give our callers tonight. You may give our listeners tonight something that works for you. And it may be something I say out there that people are like, oh, no, I wouldn't try that. But you never know. When someone else says something, there's a good likelihood that somebody is like, I was thinking that. And you know what? I was thinking about doing that. And sometimes I believe you just have to step up. And you say, well, you know what? If I'm in this boring relationship, I could be the problem. I could be the person that's boring. You know, I could be that person. If I'm doing the same thing day in and day out and expecting a different result, well, you know what they say about that. So if your companion is complaining about things, I think it's time to take stock and really listen to what he or she may have to say. So if you're bored in your relationship, tell how that's worked for you or worked against you. And if you're not bored, tell how that may have worked for you and worked against you. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We would love to hear from you. We're going to go to tonight's story, and then we're going to go to the phone lines to one of our callers. All right, tonight's characters are Edward and Daisy. And tonight's topic, once again, is, are you bored in your relationship? All right, here we go. Edward and Daisy, after a year of dating, they broke up for 3 months. And they recently got back together. And now they're enjoying the time of their lives. But just before we tell you what caused them to get back together, let's take a look at what may have happened to cause them to break up. The reason for their initial breakup had to do with the couple getting bored with each other, and they were actually running out of things to even talk about, and even worst case, they were running out of things to do together. In reality, Daisy was the one with the fun-filled lifestyle that Edward, for some unknown reason, simply could not keep up with her. In fact, he didn't even try because he insisted on doing more things inside one of their apartments. They lived separately. He wanted to do things inside one of their apartments as opposed to getting out having some fun. He would often just want to come over to Daisy's place, sit around, and watch sports or action movies. Now, Daisy, on the other hand, did not really care for sports or action movies, but would try often to accommodate him. It eventually got to the point where she got actually fed up with it, and she called it quits. Now, after 3 months, and prior to her breakup with him, she told him repeatedly that these were the things that were bothering her. She wanted to get out, and she had that bubbly personality and that lifestyle. After 3 months, Daisy and Edward, they got back together, and here are some things that clearly made the difference. and their boring to now exciting relationship. You will definitely want to hear those things. But just let me, just before I give you those things, let me go to the phone lines real quickly here, and let's bring in this caller, 917-399. Thank you for joining us this evening. Who do we have? Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, are you bored in your relationship? And just before we go to giving you what caused Daisy and Edward to rekindle their relationship, tell me if you're bored in your relationship. And if you are, what have you done to change that? Or if you're not, what keeps the flame going?
Well, Dr. Walker, I have been bored in my relationship, but it was due to the fact that my husband would work long hours and it would never give us any time to do things like go to the movies or have dinner and just conversate with each other or take romantic walks with each other. So that was a big problem in our relationship. And until I started talking about divorce, I didn't want to be with him anymore because we just wasn't spending any time together with one another. And he chose work over his family, even though he would say things like, but I'm working long hours so that I can provide a decent living for us so we can take the nice trip, go on family trip gatherings, family reunions, and just get away at least 2-3 times a year, which I understood that. But at some point after being married for so long, I didn't want him working those long hours anymore, and I was willing to give up some of those trips just to spend more time with him.
Okay, why spending more time with him? Why was that so important to you?
My husband and I met in the military, and even though we had two different backgrounds, we were off opposite days. So when I was off, he would come visit me, and when he was off, I would go visit him. So we spent a lot of time together with each other. And after having a family, kids came into the picture, it kind of took away from us spending more time with one another because he felt like we needed to have more income in our household so that we can still be able to do the things we did when we were single.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's interesting. All right, we're going to get to, let's go back up here now and look at some of the things that caused Daisy and Edward to go from a boring relationship to an exciting relationship. Number one, and there's about 5 things that took place, and the couple, I must mention that they're in their mid-20s. Number one, they both, as a matter of fact, they're both in their mid-20s. They've never been married, and neither one of them have children. They both reopened the lines of effective communication between them in their relationship. Before, the conversation was always one-sided. Now both parties are talking to each other. Number two, sorry about that, you all. Studio took a turn. Number two, they both agreed to spend a day doing something the other one enjoys instead of it being, again, one-sided. So this is very important. They both agreed to spend a day doing something that the other person enjoys instead of it being one-sided. Number three, they spend a day a week. And now these are all very important things. They spend a day a week being out, doing whatever they feel like doing, but they are committed to enjoying life and time spent together. So this is one of those things where they just jump in the car and they go, and they don't know where they're going to end up, but they know that they're going to be gone all day, and they're going to have fun doing that. Number four, they have become more romantic when they are together, and at least once a week, each one spoils the other. And then finally, at least one night a week, it has to be a romantic evening. And one does not wait for the other one to make it happen. In other words, they have formed a habit of making this happen so the other one doesn't have to wait for the other one to make it happen. And as such, it makes them want to be together, and they miss each other when they're apart. This has clearly enhanced their relationship to the point that after 6 months being on this track, Daisy and Edward have now become engaged to be married. Now, the question is that I want to start out tonight, and Rose, we're going to throw this one out at you, the first question. You know, now at 6 months, they become engaged to be married. Why did it take losing each other for 3 months in order to gain a fullness, in your opinion?
Why did it take losing? Yeah, sometimes when have what they're accustomed to, you know, they kind of miss that particular thing. So here, maybe they started missing each other, although when they were together, they couldn't see eye to eye because they didn't like the same things. But then after being apart for 3 months, they started missing each other and decided that, you know, they'd rather being together than being apart. I'm a bit skeptic, though, about, you know, it sounds all good, but it also sounds like a fairy tale because they miss each other so much that they wanted to get back together. And so they worked out, you know, this agenda that sounds really good. And it would be really good if they could stick to it. But I tend to think that people don't just change all of a sudden just like that. And he seemed to be more of a homebody. He likes to do things indoors, like watching his sports and games. And he does not really like going out, whereas she initially likes the outdoors, bubbly, and just likes to have a good time. So now they talk and they decide to get back together, and he's now, you know, adapting to the outdoors or going out because initially he doesn't. It's not what he likes. Is he just doing this because he doesn't want to lose her? Because I really don't hear where she is actually sitting home. Or maybe they probably do one thing per week at home. But now it's a lot of going out, whereas this is not him. So I'm kind of concerned that he might have a relapse later on, you know, maybe when they get married, he might have a relapse and go back into his old ways, and then that's going to create a problem with her and with the relationship. So I want to think that they started doing too much, you know, to compensate. They need to, I would think that they shouldn't be doing so many things every week, you know, because it's going to be good for now, but then it might wear him out since it's not his natural personality.
I think that that's an interesting perspective, Rose, but I think that there was a key word in there that you said, and I tend to question with some skepticism also, because could he be doing this also to win her over, to avoid losing her? But there was something that you said that really got my attention, and that was the word adapt. You know, he adapted to this. And I think that in order for a person to, I mean, sometimes change, necessary change is needed if you really want to be with someone. If this is a person that you want to spend your lifetime with, if this is a person that you enjoy, and there's something about that individual that makes you want to be around them, then I think that it requires some adapting, you know, and I too would be cautious about whether or not it can continue, even in their marriage. And even if it does get to the point where it slows down a little bit, you know, at least it seems like he's trying, and this is what has brought them back together again. All right, you're listening live, but a very good observation and perspective that you brought to the air tonight. Let's bring in Ms. Blake, our co-host, author, Fall in Love with Me. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I trust you are as well.
Yes, I've been listening in on the show.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, why are some relationships considered to be boring? You know, tonight's topic is, are you bored in your relationship? Why are some relationships boring and they end it?
Well, I think sometimes people just get used to the routine. I think you all are touching on that already. that you have to do things to spice it up, because sometimes you keep on doing everything the same way. It just becomes routine, and some people do find that to be boring at times.
Okay, and I think that that is an interesting perspective. Let's go to the phone lines again. Let's go to 205-908. Welcome to the show this evening. Who do we have?
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us this evening, Jack. Jack, in your perspective, as you comment on the characters Edward and Daisy, or, you know, why is it that people are bored in their relationships? Or have you ever encountered that? If so, how'd you turn it around?
Well, I think a marriage is basically what you make out of it. I've always said that it's not a 50-50, it's 100-100. Both parties have got to give their full effort into the marriage in order to make it work and all. Now, it can be boring if you make it boring, but it can be real spicy and to coming down roses, the whole nine yards, if you put a lot into it. Now, back in the day, they used to say garbage in, garbage out. That means if you don't put anything in the computer, you're not going to get anything out of it. So I'm saying the same thing with the marriage. If you don't put anything in it to juice it up, to spice it up and all, it is going to be boring. But if you really, really love that person, you're going to do everything you can to make that person happy. And it's not love is not a one-way street. It's both parties would have to put in their part and pay their dues. So let's say the woman is giving her all and he's only giving it by 25%. So that's way off. And then it's just not going to work because the love is one-sided. But I think that it could work. I think it could work even though they were apart for 3 months, I think you said, and then they got back together. And I think Rose was saying that, you know, she had a problem with something that adapting. I think for the most part, people are. They don't adapt to change that well. But I think if you really, really love that person, you want to give it your all and put everything, bring everything to the table and put it there, then I think you can go a long ways. I think both parties can go a long ways. And they can live happily ever after. Like the old saying goes, they can live happily ever after.
So I think that is an interesting perspective, and people, you know, I agree with you. People do tend to be slow to adapting, you know, to make change. But if they really want to be with the person, usually people know what to do. And sometimes it takes losing in order to gain. Angela, let me come back to you on this and ask you. And Rose, we heard your perspective, you know, for them to realize that they wanted to be together. Angie, for you, you mentioned that your relationship was boring, and obviously you've turned that around. What may have turned that around for you and your husband?
The fact that my husband stopped working long hours. See, life changes constantly. You have your spouse that may get a promotion in the job, and he can't just simply say that he can go home in a certain hour when his job required him to be there longer than the regular workers. So that was the thing that I was dealing with. You know, my husband had several promotions during his career and working at a certain hospital. Excuse me. And I had a job where I was able to switch shifts with people on my job to accommodate what was happening with his job. And thank God I did have a job where I could do that. But then it was 1 year, then 2 years, then 3 years, then 4 years of doing the same thing and adapting to his schedule and working around it and still doing his part and my part at home. And then I got burned out, and that's where I didn't want to be with him anymore, because after a while, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do all this and you're not here, I might as well be by myself and continue to do it. And then he was like, hold up. He wasn't willing to sacrifice our relationship that easy. And at first, it was difficult trying to, when he cut his hours back, it was difficult for me to do things as a couple, because I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years, maybe a little more, by myself, and I had gotten used to that. So I found that we was having arguments and confrontations because I wasn't a team player anymore. And in my head, I just handled the situation instead of having him a part of what was going on and say, hey, well, this is what's going on. What do you suggest? Because I've always had did it for years. And so because I loved him enough to reconsider, things weren't that bad as far as me not loving him or he not loving me, but it was because interference of his job and his work schedule that caused the friction between our relationship. I was able to give it a second and a third chance to see what we can do to work it out. And at first, it was one day a week where he was able to come home and spend time with us, not just to be able to go out, but to get involved with family things. And then that went on for 6 months. And then finally I was like, this seemed like it's still going back to the way it was before. I'm only getting one day, and you're coming home at 5:30, and I'm working also. And it's like, I'm too tired to do anything on that one day. So we decided that we would schedule a Thursday, would be our night, that we would take each other out. And whether it was go to dinner and just sit and talk about things that we hadn't, you know, play catch up. Or maybe go to a movie. And that worked for a while. And then I found us back to the beginning where we still wasn't having enough time, because that day would end up being something we had to do with one of our kids who have activities going on within school, and that took up our time. So
right.
I had to readjust things, but what I will say is that I was willing to readjust our life and situations, things that was happening, to accommodate the both of us. And believe me, we've argued. There's been times I told him to get out. He's told me to get out. We wasn't speaking to each other. One of us was sleeping on the couch. But we never left the household, and we worked through it. And it wasn't easy, but we did it, because that's how he and I worked through it. But it may not work out for other people. Some people may throw the towel in and say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. But we both hung in there, and we dealt with what was happening. And am I going to say it was easy? No, it wasn't easy. So we got through it. That's all I can say.
Angela, I want to say that it's commendable that you all, despite what was going on, that you all decided to hang in there and make your marriage work. And how long have you all been married now?
We've been married for this year, made 23 years, and we've been together for 25.
Oh, well, that's very good. So, you know, we got to have a show. I would like you and your husband to be my featured guest one evening, because I want to ask, I want to put something out there, a topic, and Ms. Blake, we're going to talk about this one, and that is, you know, do couples really, when they're upset, what's the likelihood that they mean what they're saying? You know, because I've heard you say now, Angela, that he told you to get out, you told him to get out. And the worst case scenario, somebody ends up maybe sleeping on the couch, but you don't leave the house. So, I mean, that's an interesting perspective, you know. So for you all to hang in there, it's almost like, I don't know, one of these shows on there, maybe, you know, somebody who watches Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, when Frank and Marie, I think that's her name, when they're always talking to each other in the most harsh way, that for some reason, I think most couples looking at that was like, how can they stay together? But then I've heard Maria and Frank, as I watched one of those episodes, say, well, that's their true love. You know, they know that they love each other, and they're not out to prove it to other people. Ms. Blake, let me bring it to you, and those of you all that are trying to get in, we're going to ask for your patience. You know, when people are out there trying to rekindle their things, you know, just in our story tonight, Daisy and Edward here, what would make Daisy want to feel that, and Rose brought that point out, you know, about skepticism, what would make Daisy have the assurance that in a marriage he's not going to regress back to the the style that he once had, in your opinion?
Well, I'm not sure that there is any assurance. I think a lot of it depends, one, on Daisy, on how, her trust, amount of trust that she has, because that's a big factor. And the rest of it is just, you know, it's like anything, any other behavior. It just has to continue to manifest itself consistently in time.
Right, absolutely. And I don't think that it's going to be perfect, and I don't think anybody should expect perfection, because, you know, there are going to be times when probably Edward, you know, like Rose says, he may not want to go this particular time. So that shouldn't be something where, okay, there's a strike against you. Now two more strikes against him, I'm walking out. Jack, what do you think about that? Wouldn't you think that if a person considers themselves to be bored in a relationship, I mean, who can keep up all the time at a level, let's say a level 10, where you're always hyped up, even if your companion isn't? Is that fair to the relationship?
Nobody can keep up to a level 10. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So my admonishment to everybody is to put your whole nine throughout in. I know a lot of people have been hurt before, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm not going to give it my all this time because I was hurt before. But now if you love that person, you got to give it your all. Otherwise, you're not doing that person giving that person the right justice, and you're not giving yourself the right justice either by not putting forth 100%.
Okay, that's also interesting. You know, Rose, we're going to come back to you now and ask the question. I mean, here it is. You know, and I'm thinking about Angie's situation, and I'm also thinking about Daisy and Edward's situation, where Daisy and Edward separated for these 3 months. I mean, and Angie said that her and her husband was apart because he was working so much. You know, he was working so much. And then when they got back together, they were fighting. And I know you don't know their circumstances right there. And Angie, we're going to give you a chance to speak to this issue also. But I would think that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Rose, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I've often heard that phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But I don't think it's the same thing, you know. In Edward and Daisy's situation, I could understand how the absence made the heart grow fonder. They were broken up, you know, and they started missing each other because they are not seeing each other anymore. And so they realize that, hey, you know what, I want to be with him or I want to be with her. I miss this person. In Angela's situation, I think is different. It's not that she wasn't seeing him anymore. It's just that he was working long hours, so she still saw him every night or so, but he was just working long hours, and she got kind of frustrated with that because she wanted him to be there for them to interact, you know, and instead of the job taking up all of his time, she was missing him in that sense. She wanted her husband to be there to help her at home with the kids, of course, and to communicate together, to do things as a couple. So I don't think that falls in the same category as absent made the heart grow fonder, because now, I mean, they're already married and reality sets in. You have the kids that you have to come home and take care of, you know, so it's not a fairy tale anymore. You're not living in a fairy tale. These are things that you have to do. You got to cook, you got to clean, you got to help the kids with homework, you got to do everything. And so when he's at work, working these long hours, and you come home from work and you still have to continue working as if your job is not over, but you're doing this alone, you know, it makes it a bit difficult. So, you know, I could understand her situation.
All right, thank you, Rose. Just before we go to Angie, to give her an opportunity to, when I come to you, Angela, I want to know, didn't absence make the heart grow fonder, and what caused you all to start, you know, having these arguments again when you started to having more time together? But just before we go to Angie, let's go to the phone lines once again, 305-803, 305-803. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us? I'm sorry? 305-803. Who do we have on the air? All right, let's go to 786-306. 786-306. Who do we have on the air this evening? I believe you said Stanley. Stanley, thanks for joining us this evening. Stanley, give us your brief version of what you think causes people to be bored in their relationships.
I think the reason for people being bored in relationships, because I think a lot of people don't understand relationship with a is like human flowers. Because when you have a woman that's like a human flower, you got to spend time. It's like when you have a yard with a lot of flowers and you're outside in your yard, taking care of the plant, you know, wetting the plant, you know, mowing it and everything like that, and you see how it's blooming. If you do the same thing with a woman, you know, you're never bored because you spend time with she, watering she and things like that and clean it up and, you know, spend a lot of time making she beautiful. You know, I think,
right.
You know, you would not get bored because, you know, you're spending a lot of time with a woman. It's like your yard. When you have a yard with a lot of plants and you're spending a lot of time in the yard, you can't get bored at home because you always have things to do. A woman is the same thing, you know. If a man look at that, the way, because the best thing that God gave man after life is a woman. And you got to water that and you got to keep it looking good. You know, and she will powder that too, you know, and the man will powder that. So you cannot bore in a relationship. I never bore in a relationship. I might get fed up.
Oh, you never
bore.
Right. Okay. Stanley, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. We've got to take some of the comments, and we're running out of time. Angela, let's just go back to you. And I do know that you said that you have become accustomed to doing things by yourself. And that's, you know, and you find that now with your husband coming and giving you more time, you, but what caused the arguments?
What I would say what caused the arguments, Dr. Walker, is the fact that I was holding grudges. I was very
Your radio's on at the same time, so it's picking up the sound from you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes,
hello?
But it's also picking up the same sound. It's picking up the sound. You're too close to the radio.
No, I'm nowhere near radio. I hear something in the background, but it's not me. I was very resentful to the things that was happening in the situation that I was put in, constantly being left home. When I say my husband worked late, he wouldn't come in until it was time to go to bed. My kids were already put to bed. After doing cooking dinner, doing homework, going to parent teacher conference, and being involved in several different things with the kids when he wasn't there, doing his part and my part. And I became very resentful over that. I was angry, upset about it, and I actually took it out on him and was saying, well, you know what? You wasn't hearing nothing this week, so why should I share any of this information with you? Since when do I have to talk to you about stuff? And those were the things that was going in my head. And I would actually say those things. And it was hateful things that I would say to him. And I had to grow and forgive and not allow those things to bother me on the inside because it was bothering me. It was hurting me. And once I relieved that pain and I didn't take it personally anymore, I was able to forgive him quicker. Like, he would call home and be like, as soon as he called, I already knew what he was going to say. I would say stuff like, whatever, and hang up. Don't call me anymore. Because I was so used to him not showing up when he was supposed to. His hour's supposed to be 7:30 to 3:30. He don't come home to 7:30, 8:30, 9:30 at night. And that was the norm from Monday through Friday, and he will only be on Saturday and Sunday when I work a job, when I work weekend. And I'm off during the week, so I really wasn't seeing him. So I had to find a way to not allow
to affect me anymore, and to forgive him and not hold grudges because he had to work late. He couldn't just leave work, you know, the way I could. Once my time is up, I sign out and I go home. He can't do that at his job, or he would get fired. And I didn't understand that. But after doing it for 4 years, I'm like, listen, something got to give. I don't believe in a job where you can't tell them my time is up and I can't go home. So, yeah, it really affected me a lot. And I had to go to counseling and work through that stuff. And I went and got help for myself.
And again, to be commendable. We've got to take some of these comments. Ms. Blake, let's bring you in. Did you have a comment, Ms. Blake, before we go to the some of the comments that have come into the studio?
Oh, no, I'd rather just hear the comments and we can talk about it from there.
Okay, let's go to the comments. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the first one. This female writes in terms of, are you bored in your relationship? She says, yes, I am so bored in my relationship because my husband is a couch potato who wants to watch sports all the time, just like Edward did, after only 3 years of marriage. He was not like that before marriage. You have any advice for her?
Well, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, one thing, he probably was like that before marriage, but he just sees more of it because she's probably around him more. But I would just suggest that she comes up with a date night for them and just takes the initiative to try to plan something for them to get outside of the house.
I think that is a very good suggestion, to come up with a date night. So if she's listening out there, you strongly recommend that. Thank you, Ms. Blake, for that. Rose, let's give you the second one, and then we're going to go to Angela with the third one. This female, she says, the way my boyfriend and I keep pace and excitement in our relationship is by scheduling a second date before we end the current date we're on. In other words, we make immediate plans for a future date before the date we're on ends. Just keep the excitement going. She says, I love it. What do you think about that, Rose? It sounds real good to me.
Well, that's great. I think that's a really good thing. I'm not sure how long they've been together. But, you know, sometimes that kind of dies down, especially when you have other responsibilities and, like, you get married, kids come along. You can't always keep up that pace. But it's good that they have that pace right now. But my only concern here is that she needs to understand that it might not always be like that. The pace might not be so fast. Over the years, you know, when added responsibility come into play.
All right, thank you for that. Stanley, we're going to give you, Stanley, if you're still with us. Stanley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Stanley, we're going to give you the next comment. This one says, in reference to being bored in your relationship, this male writes in, he says, I think people get bored because they start to settle into their relationship. And they started to take their companion for granted. Sandy, how true is that? People settle and they take the other one for granted?
Yeah, it does. It does happen. Sometimes, if you're in a relationship for convenience, it's happened a lot, because sometimes you take that person for granted because, and especially if the person really loves it well, and it's like I with my lady, and she loved me more than the love I have for her. And then I see him that in a form that she have more love for me now, and I take him that for granted, and, you know, trying to use that now, you know, and I like taking advantage of that because I see she pushing out more love for me more than what I'm pushing out for. You know, and I start to going out and doing things because I know, and my woman home, she loves me. You know, after a while, she will get bored, you know.
Right.
You know, and then that could cause a relationship to go down the drain when you take somebody for granted. But you're not supposed to do that. If somebody's showing you love, it's good to show back love to them. You know, show that love back to them, because you never know, you know, what the person will come out to be, and what you all will come out to be together. So it's important to show love back when somebody show love to you, you know, and make sure don't be bold in relationship, because with me and my fiancé, we do a lot together. Because when I met her, I tell her what I love, and if she wanna be a part of it, you know, she could be a part of me. And she decides, well then, okay, I will take a chance. You know, I will see what it is. And she ends up loving the thing that I'm doing, and she's a part of it. So, you know, we together, we don't be bored. We spend a lot of time together.
Right. That's a very good perspective, Stanley. We appreciate that comment. Let's take a look at this next comment that has come into the studio. And we're just about out of time. This female writes in, she says, we try to do a lot of fun stuff weekly together to keep us from being bored. We try to do a lot of fun stuff together in our relationship, and this seems to have been working for us, and it also minimizes arguments. She recommends that we try it. Let me go to Angela on that one. Let me ask Angela, what does she tend to think when it comes to that particular one? Angela, she says they do a lot of fun stuff.
I've done a lot of fun stuff with my husband, but sometimes, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes
yeah, go
I
ahead,
find
man.
that isn't enough. Why? Because I'm dealing with things inside of me that my husband can't relate to, you know,
right.
Insecurities and how I feel about myself. And that's when I need to get help for myself and figure out why I'm the way I am. And I think I've told you before, we're two eyeballs. People will look at us and be like, what the heck are they seeing each other? But at the end of the day, we're actually compatible to each other. And I think that some relationships should have a little argument. Nothing is never perfect. Never perfect. And as long as you can communicate and deal with, you may not agree all the time on the situation, but if you can agree to disagree on certain things and say, you know what, I'm going to let you handle this time. I don't agree with it, but we're going to try your way. And a lot of times I had to let my husband take the lead, and when he fails at it, then I'll take the lead. And if I fell at it too, then we'll both look at each other and say, okay, it ain't working either way. Let's figure out some other way to go.
I like that. Just before we go here, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last one. But, Angela, I got to ask you just briefly, in 15 seconds or less, what may have been caused some of the insecurities that you had, you know, in terms of your relationship with your husband?
Well, things that happened to me in my childhood that I didn't start dealing with until I became a grown adult. And it affected my relationship with my husband. And I had to come to a decision where I had to get help for myself. And it wasn't him, it was me.
Right, I think that is very important. And we're going to leave that one, that thought right there. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last comment because we're about a minute from closing the show. Let's do that now. Let me go with the last comment for the evening. This male writes in, he says, my girlfriend of 2 years has changed drastically in our relationship because she'd rather spend time alone going places than to spend quality time with me. This is seriously making me bored. I am thinking about quitting and moving on. Any advice? Ms. Blake, what do you say to that?
You said she'd rather spend time alone or spend time going places?
Yeah, she'd rather spend time alone going places than spend quality time with me, he says. This is seriously making me bored.
Well, you know, he should just share his concerns with her. And it just may be that she needs some me time. I think most people need some me time. So that's not necessarily a bad sign, but he needs to share with her that, you know, be willing to respect her me time, but also say, baby, you know, I'd like us to be together and find some special time for us time or some we time. So he just needs to talk to her and express that.
All right, I think that is so great. That is some informative information. We're clearly out of time tonight, you all. Please, next week's topic is Are you running your companion away with your nagging? Are you running your companion away with your nagging? We're certainly looking forward to that. We will have a surprise featured guest, so we're going to ask all of you all to join us again next week. And, of course, join us this week, this Friday, for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again live here next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience and my guests, thank you all so very much tonight. I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.